if you remember that it's all about the person who's buying from you and you just stick with that, all the other stuff are just tools that you can use, but you have to stay focused on that person that you're marketing to, that you're speaking to, that you're trying to influence.
Welcome to Beyond Clean with Ace. In the world of commercial cleaning, newcomers and seasoned professionals know we're more than just toilets, windows, and floors. We're just like everyone else with diverse interests in everything. And over the past 7 seasons, tens of thousands have discovered engaging, thoughtful, and truly game-changing knowledge here. Whether you're a facility manager, a frontline staff member, or a building services contractor, we're here to help you grow both personally and professionally. So hit that subscribe button and share with others, because we're all about enhancing lives in healthy, positive, and proactive ways. Now let's join Dave Thompson, Director of the Academy of Cleaning Excellence, your host here at Beyond Clean with Ace.
Good morning, everyone. Well, it is the last Monday, well, first Monday of 2023. I don't know. Did that confuse you? It did me. I don't know. I know it's the last month of the year, and I'm not ready for the last month to be here. But what I am ready for is I've got 10 days of vacation coming up, and gosh, I'm ready for that. So, you know, hey, it's the last podcast that I'm going to do with Mickey Anderson, and if everything works right for this year, Mickey, we were just talking before we got on. It's not the same weather in our two areas of the country.
Not even a little bit.
I think it's interesting how much whenever you're at this time of the year, when you talk with people, how weather becomes a topic of the conversation.
Yeah, a lot of our clients are in California and in Florida, and they're always joking about how it's starting to get cooler. And then I'll show them out my window what we see, and it's a little bit of a shocker. But it's also fun to hear, because a lot of those places don't have the seasons changes that we do, and it sometimes gets kind of boring to have the same weather all the time for them. So they're always a little bit envious of like the fun in the snow that we get, whereas I'm like ready to hop on a plane and fly.
Well, you know, and we folks, we were talking about, you know, the local picture that's going around here in Florida is the parka and the beach with one person right next to is a woman in two piece on the beach. It says which one's from which one is a native. Pretty easy for us to figure that out.
Yep, definitely. No parkas out here yet, and we got a lot of snow still. So.
Well, that aside, folks, if you don't know what we're talking about here, Mickey, before we get into this too far, let's let everybody know who you are, what you do, and then we'll get into what we're talking about today.
For sure. I'm Mickey Anderson. I run a marketing agency up here in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, way up north, called 90 Day Campaigns. And I like to hop on here and talk B2B marketing.
You know, what's interesting, as you said that, I just had some students in the class this week here. We had our alumni day on Friday. It happened to be my seven-year anniversary from when I moved here to Florida, getting it started. And, you know, they were talking about marketing and stuff. And I said, have you listened to the podcast in the last year? Mickey gives out free advice every month if you'll just listen.
I mean, if people just did what I tell them to do, all of this would be...
I mean, Mickey, over the year, well, and this is our second year doing this now, you've given out a lot of information that, I mean, it's mind-boggling to me to keep up with all of that.
That's one of the things with this industry. It's a lot like tech. Like, it moves really quickly. We're very much kind of in alignment with the tech industry. It's constantly changing, but there are some things that remain the same. And I think when you hold on to that, you see past the shiny objects and the new stuff and the technology and all the things that can sometimes distract him. And instead of seeing them as like the strategy or the path, if you remember that it's all about the person who's buying from you and you just stick with that, all the other stuff are just tools that you can use, but you have to stay focused on that person that you're marketing to, that you're speaking to, that you're trying to influence.
Now, Mickey, I'm sorry, but I got to do this. You mentioned the shiny objects. And folks, if you've been with me before and our talk with Mickey here, you know that I go to somebody's webpage and I just go to the bottom of the page to start with. Well, just like I always do, Mickey, I went to the bottom of your page. And what did I say? What did I see here? Shine Like Gold at Fort Knox. And I'm like, wait a minute, I got to talk about this. And you just mentioned shiny objects, so I got to go here. I'm going to let you kind of explain a little bit, and I'll tell you why I went here, Mickey.
Yeah, for sure. So near the bottom of the website page, what we always recommend is just make it really super simple for someone to move forward. And so the Ready to Make Your Brand Shine Like Gold in Fort Knox is, we use a lot of metaphors and analogies. It's just one of the ways to simplify things for people. And so you want your brand to shine and stand out, and not much shines brighter than the gold at Fort Knox, right?
Well, I haven't been to Fort Knox, but I do know the way gold is supposed to shine.
It's supposed to shine. And so underneath that headline, we've just got, here's how to get started. And it's got a simple three-step plan for someone to get started working with us.
Now, why did I actually clue in on this, which is kind of the interesting thing for me? You know, as we do at the end of the year, we kind of do look back at a lot of stuff, right?
Yep.
Well, I was with a couple of my students that were here for Alumni Day, and we were talking through marketing and everything. And I said, well, when did you actually start thinking about 24? Mm. Well, a couple months ago. I said, you're way behind. So what, before I go any further, what is your advice for somebody when they're planning? I mean, I know what I do, what I've learned over my career, well, from a professional, what do we do?
So in marketing, we don't look, a lot of businesses try and do their planning around their financial planning, because like the annual financial plan or the annual budget is typically right. What businesses are looking at. And they're trying to mimic that in their strategic planning. And a lot of times they'll try and use the same kind of annual plan framework as they do for their marketing. But unfortunately, it doesn't really work. Whether you're looking at your overall business strategy or your marketing, a year, it's not really enough time to get anything significant really done in the big picture. But it's also too long for you to actually like execute and test things. So what we recommend in marketing and strategic planning is push it out a little bit to a 3-year plan. So every year you're looking at this big giant 3-year plan. So you've got more time to actually create the kind of long-term change you want to create. And then we execute in quarters. So you're taking those baby steps towards ultimately that 3-year goal. And that's the way that we look at, because in marketing, a quarter is enough time to really test something and stay focused on one project. But when we look at a year and we try and come up with, say we want to focus on email marketing in 2024, that's a lot of time to get lost in email marketing. It's a lot of time to have a bunch of projects stack all over each other and just kind of become a mess. And so if we say, you know, over the next 3 years, we want to grow by X amount. So say I want to, you know, double my business size in 3 years. Email marketing is one of the paths that we want to use and test. We're going to dedicate a quarter to testing this one part of email marketing, see if it works, and then move forward and continue to execute or make plans and change and adjust. But when you have the big 3-year picture, it just makes things way easier and less rushed, right? Because you see how much more time you have, but when you're executing in those short little sprints or bursts, you actually get more done. So that's kind of the way we look at it.
Well, that's interesting, because I've got something that I've been working on, and somebody said, well, you just started doing that. I said, I just let you know about it just now.
Yep.
Yeah, that's just it. Because they found out doesn't mean that this is my first time to think about it. So something I've been working on that we're getting ready to work into real diligently for next year started 4 years ago.
That's it. A lot of times and I mean, that's one of the reasons why copying other people doesn't work. Because ultimately, all you see is the outside, the end result. You have no insight into what it took behind the scenes, how much time, what was tested, what worked, what didn't work, that we didn't see. And so ultimately, any effort to copy what other people are doing in the industry is wasted effort, because you have no idea what you're even copying. You're just aiming for a similar result and hoping for the best. So you're better off starting on your own, doing the dirty work, and then who cares who knows about it unless it works.
Well, I'm going to come back to that. I want to follow up on that. But before we get too far down this path, I want to let everybody know, why did this bright, shiny gold thing hit me this morning when I looked at this? And it's because as we were reflecting back on our careers, several of us, they were asking, you know, what's some of the things that you've cleaned that just normally people wouldn't think about? I'm like, you know, over 50 years, I can tell you, it's been a lot of different things. So you think about, what would it be that normal people wouldn't think about? And I had the opportunity one time to clean a gold-plated toilet. Now, what brought that up was, just ironically, that same day, there was a post about a gold-plated toilet that had gotten stolen. And I'm like, well, no, I cleaned it a long time before this recent one got stolen, but it was actually a solid gold toilet, not gold-plated. And somebody said, well, how do you clean a gold toilet? I said, just think about it. Gold is very easy to clean because it doesn't tarnish. A little bit of a buffing. I said, so what we did is we didn't use any chemicals. We used brand new cotton baby diapers to wipe it down. And then once a week, we polished it with a jeweler's cloth. And he was like, I would have never. And I think that's the interesting thing about the cleaning industry. We get into everything. Now, how in the world would you market that I can clean a gold-plated toilet?
Well, I think that's a lot about positioning, because it's not about the gold-plated toilet. I think that's the mistake we make, is we think it's about the thing. It's not. It's about the person. Who has the gold-plated toilet, and what does it mean to them? Right? How does having the right person to take care of their important and unique things make them feel and transform their life? So instead of marketing, I can clean your gold-plated toilet, I work with people who have unique things that they care about greatly, and they want the right people to take good care of them so they last for a lifetime and they can showcase them. That's what you're marketing.
And so, Mickey, I love the way that you picked up on that, because one of the first things I teach in class is you got to understand, folks, that there's no money in cleaning. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what are you talking about? I said, no. Cleaning is a perception. Yeah. The reality of it is that the expectations of that client as far surpasses anybody else's. Okay? That's the first thing you got to remember. You, before you walk in, they know you don't know to use chemicals on that gold-plated toilet. Or solid gold, if it happened to be that way, folks. I'm sorry if you have a solid gold toilet. Ooh, okay. But here's the thing. It's the integrity of the material that is the primary goal. And I think this is what a lot of people forget. And somebody said, well, what do you mean? I said, protect the investment of that individual, of that merchandise. And then for me, it's next is the safety of what we do. And I said, when you realize that, you market things differently.
Yeah, I think the more we can dig in, because the big mistake that I see a lot of people make when it comes to their marketing is they focus on the how. How do we clean this thing? How do we do the job? What makes us different there? When most people don't care about that, they just assume you know. Right. Call it the curse of knowledge. They don't need to know all the things you know. They don't need to know that you know exactly all the pieces and what they are. They just need to have trust in you that you can do it and they'll do it right. What they need to know is the why. Why is the gold-plated toilet so important to this person? Why is having the right cleaner important? So even beyond the integrity of the things, what does the integrity of their things mean to them, about them? So if I take care of my long-lasting things, if they're taken care of, what does that say about me? And so we can go even further and deeper into the person's psychology to really hook in and get that person. So I think if you're thinking of a business, for example, you're not just cleaning, okay, we're protecting your assets. You've paid, your business has invested in this beautiful space and we're protecting it. You're investing in having your customers walk in and their jaws drop because the place is spotless and it makes them feel amazing. That's what you're selling. It's the experience and the ultimate outcome that they get.
Mickey, this is why you and I just love to talk every time. It's just like you pick up right there and you're right. I'm like, is she in my brain? Yeah.
But this is rabbit holes.
Yeah, this is the truth of the matter. Whenever we are presenting ourselves and marketing what we do, I tell people, I was in Miami this week working with the Miami Dolphins this last week. And as I started the two sessions with them, I said, before we do anything, you have to understand why we're here. The question that we have to answer is, why are we doing what we're doing? And if you don't know that, the rest of it doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, I think a lot of people fear looking silly by asking silly questions or what they think are obvious questions. But the truth is, they're not obvious questions, because if you were to ask that question, I assume there were probably some people like, good question, right? Or they would go the other way and be like, that's a stupid question, because we need the place cleaned. But why? And you have to be willing to kind of make yourself look silly to get good answers. Because if somebody just shakes it off and says, well, of course, why wouldn't we be here? Like, well, I need to know even more. Like, what does this mean to your organization? And then you can tie what you do to the value you create. So you have to be willing to ask some silly or obvious questions in order to get good answers.
And I got both of those responses, Mickey. I actually did. Yes, it was true. I mean, I got that look like, what are you talking about? We know why you're here. And the other was like, well, what's your version? And I'm like, it doesn't matter what my version is. My question is, do you know why you're doing what you're doing? Because I'm not talking about the minutia of doing the job. I mean, we'll get to the skills training here in a little bit. It's before you go there, you need to understand why you're doing what you're doing. And it was interesting as we started talking and we went through the facility, they now have Formula One there. And as we were driving around, they were showing me the paddock and everything. And Lewis Hamilton has a garage there. And if you follow Formula One, you would know who Lewis Hamilton is. Well, I happen to. He drove us around and he was showing us a terrazzo floor. And he says, well, I can guarantee you when the sheet comes in here, we can't have it looking this way. You know, you pick up on the certain things here. He wasn't talking about the everyday common visitor that leaves their sofa in the infield from the football game. He's talking about Lewis Hamilton and the Sheik back to the gold-plated or gold, solid gold toilet. You have to understand who you're marketing to and the expectations of that client. It's not always the same.
And sometimes, and I'll tell you, one of the ways that we get around this question, because we get the same response that you did, like, well, that's a stupid question. Of course, we're here because we need our things cleaned or because whatever, or I have no idea. And one of the ways that we use to get around this is to say, well, what happens if it doesn't get cleaned? Right? Okay, well, there's a mess. Yeah, but what happens because of the mess? And then you can start to get the picture of why it's so important from the opposite perspective. Okay, well, if the Sheik shows up and the floor is like it is now, what happens? What does that make you feel like, look like? Okay, when the Sheik, and then they're a little bit more open to say, okay, when the Sheik comes in and the floor is spotless, what does that mean? And sometimes you can connect the dots by playing both sides. So that's a little trick we use if you're struggling to get the why. Go the opposite. Well, what happens if we don't do it?
Yeah, and I think that was it. So, you know, I don't know, Mickey, I do sometimes. I feel like, it's that bartender mentality. Everybody comes up to the bar and they have their problems and all you do is just help them navigate through it. They have the answers. We just have to direct them the right way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I studied counseling psychology and that's one of the big philosophies of being a counselor or a therapist is like, I'm not fixing you. I'm helping you see within you the strength and answers you need so that you can do it. That's it. I'm not the fixer. I'm not the helper. I'm not doing the work. I'm helping you see inside of you what you need in order to move forward. And it's the same thing here. So how do I help you see what it is you need or know what it is you know or have what it is you need in order to do what you want to do? You are ultimately the star, the center of the show here.
So I think what was interesting as I looked at this morning, Mickey, was you've got this broke down into the email marketing, the social media, and then the content. How big do you feel that social media marketing is really going to play the important role as we go in to 24 versus the email and the content? I mean, are these balanced or are we still?
They're all different tools in your toolbox. So if you're going to build a shelf, you probably need a few tools. Unless you're buying from IKEA, then you need the one thing and a lot of patience, right? The Allen key or whatever it is. But for most of us, we need a few tools because people are coming at us in different stages of their customer journey. And each one of those tools does a different thing for us. They're all important. What we've noticed, and the reason why we broke it that way, is because when we sell them all together, it feels really complicated and tricky for people to understand. Right. But if we get them into one, it's like a gateway drug. So most people are like, yeah, I can sign up for social media marketing. I know what that means. And then, okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to tack on some emails to help do X, Y, Z, and then do that. And they're like, yeah, sure, no problem. But initially getting them in, we have to break it down and make it easier. So when it comes to social media in 2024, I think it's a huge place for brand awareness, to get your name out there, to get reach, people who don't know, like, and trust you already, to get them curious and engaged with you. But that's where it typically ends. The next step is we need to educate, inform, build the know, like, and trust. That can happen via email. And then your website has to be positioned in a place where it answers those buyers' questions. It overcomes their objections when they're ready to buy, because your website is basically your cash register or your physical location online. It's your digital real estate. So all three work together, just in different ways, to support moving this person through the customer journey. So social is still ultimately super important for most businesses, but it's not the only thing.
So do you feel it's the leading marketing plan? If somebody, you know, if I get a lot of brand new entrepreneurs in the cleaning industry that, hey, they're struggling just to get started. They're looking for customers. They're basically working themselves, saying, hey, I got a business. I'm the only one doing it. So which one do they start with?
You know, most people it's counterintuitive. Most people think, oh, I need more eyes on my business. That's the problem. Cool. What happens when you get more eyes on your business? Are they the right eyes? And do you have what you need to get those eyes to turn into sales? Probably not. So we actually say, instead of starting with social media, your best bets to start, we call it, it's affinity marketing. It's your lowest hanging fruit. Start with the people who already know, like, and trust you, and who do they know? So it might be your family, telling your family members, hey, if you know anyone, I'm doing this thing, I've got this new cleaning business, you know, here's my card, refer, refer, refer. And then, okay, those friends, how do I connect with those friends? And then my local. And because you don't want to put in a ton of work someone from cold to warm to hot. You want the people who are already hot to come in and just sell them as quickly as possible. You need cash. So start with your lowest hanging fruit, your referrals, your personal network, and then you'll start to go backwards, or basically start at the bottom of the funnel where the sale is, and then work your way up. That's what we really need to focus on.
Yeah. And as you say that, I see so much. And of course, you know, by now I've been doing this for a while, and it's like, okay, you're always playing with something. You know, you and I've talked about AI over the last few months. What role do you see it playing next year?
I think it's just going to get bigger and bigger. I think people are just going to find more and better ways to use it. It's going to become a more streamlined tool. It's kind of like I like to think of it kind of like the development of a CRM. So a customer relationship management tool, like a SaaS tool. So lots of businesses have a directory of all the people that are prospects, potential buyers, past buyers, all there to know who's bought what and how do we connect with them and get their information, et cetera. And it's become an integral part of being able to close deals and keep track of all of your leads and your customers. And I think AI is going to become something that's a part of most businesses. It's a tool that speeds up production, that helps us do stuff we otherwise would take us a long time or need us to pay someone else to do. And I think people are just going to learn and hone in on it more. I still see it as just a tool. It's not a solution. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I'm going to put something into AI and it's going to be perfect. We have a nickname for AI, for ChatGPT in particular. We call it the intern. Right. It's like you got a free intern to do a bulk load of work for you so that you can take it and refine it and do what you need to with it. And that's essentially what AI is. Every business now has this unlimited intern who's there to do a ton of bulk work for you, whether it's research or whatever, that you can then take and do with what you want.
Now, folks, if you're wanting to know more about what Mickey said last month, we talked at great length about the intern and the use of AI. So I expected your answer wouldn't probably be any different. What is interesting for me is the challenge of trying to get students into classes, because, you know, in the cleaning industry, everybody's busy doing work. And of course, you know, finding employees is always tough. It's the biggest problem we have. And so, you know, I have to look at alternative ways, and, you know, AI is the way that, I mean, you know, you look around, everybody's got a $1,000 computer in their hand. This is the way we look at things. But I always get challenged by, why are you doing that, Dave? Because nobody else is doing it.
That's why. I mean, if we all just, like I mentioned, you can try and copy someone's outcome, but you don't know the work that went in, the stuff that they tried or didn't try. You don't know. And so people can say, well, no one else is doing it. But like, how do you know that, first off? Second, if not, then it could be two things. It could be a massive market opportunity for you to step up and be an industry leader and tap into something that no one else is yet and get a head start. Or it could be a failed test, but you learn from. You gain insight, knowledge that you otherwise wouldn't have had. Both are good. So ultimately, it's just perception, how you look at it. But by comparing yourself to what everyone else is doing, you're just going to end up battling it out with all the millions of other competitors all in this middle ground, when there's like 1% of competitors up here that you could step up and go against and stand out way easier. So, I mean, it's up to you.
Well, and Mickey, if anybody has watched me over the years and has learned, I'm the one that wants to say, hey, catch up with me. So, you know, I don't want to be the one trying to figure out what they did because it took them 4 years to get there. And duplication to me is something somebody needs to try to do for my program. Yeah. That does create a lot of trial and error and a lot of heartache because getting there always isn't fun.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, unless you're innately really excited by these sorts of things, like it can be tricky, but ultimately experimentation is where growth happens. That's it. If you're not experimenting, trying, and ultimately failing a lot of times, you're not going to grow. You're not going to learn. You're not going to evolve. And so if you're happy with exactly where you are, you don't want anything to change, even then you're kind of set up for failure because the economy and our population and society is growing at a standard rate. And if you're not growing with them, you're falling behind. And so either way, you're either falling behind or you're moving forward. Those are your options. You're not going to be able to stay where you are.
You're absolutely right. There is no treading water in business.
No, not at all.
Yeah, you're
unless
you're not
bankruptcy is where you want to be.
You know, Mickey, I don't want to belabor this here at the end of the year. I seem to remember that you went someplace last December. Are we getting ready to head that way again?
Actually, no. So normally, well, actually I am, but not the same. So normally every year there, I go to Las Vegas in December for the Nationals Finals Rodeo, which is the greatest time to go to Vegas for anyone who's looking for a fantastic time. It's like Vegas. I call it Vegas on cowboy steroids. Like it's the nicest, most pleasant time to go to Vegas because everyone is like a courteous cowboy, like, ma'am. It's great. It's fantastic. You never felt more safe in Vegas. And also it's just a blast to see such a cool, incredible experience happening. So normally I go to Vegas for that reason, but actually this year Traffic Conversion Summit, which is the largest marketing conference in North America, is happening in Vegas in January. And I can't really double dip my Vegas trip in the year.
Well, why not?
Oh man, I have a little one at home. I have a family. There's only so many trips I can pick and I kind of have to choose. So I'm going to be going to Traffic and Conversion Summit in January. So same Vegas place, just a different environment, more marketer.
I don't think you'll get the tip of the hat.
Probably. Well, unless I hang out with the Texans there. Sometimes that happens. We have quite a few Texans that come down for TNCs. I might get that.
You have to search them out.
Yeah.
Are you going to take your hat just because you're there?
I'll bring my boots and hat for sure.
Okay. All right.
Oh yeah. That's standard Vegas attire though. Let's get real.
Folks, you got to understand once that we've done this for a while, Mickey and I just have fun with this. And this is what podcasting is all about. Yes, we are serious and this is business. And, you know, we thank you for all of the people that have joined us through the year. I was taking a look at it, all the downloads and all the people that have come through and everything. I'm not going to play the numbers, but Mickey, you have a podcast channel too. I think we always appreciate the listeners, but you know what's hard for me to get is feedback.
Yeah, it's true. Podcasting, it feels like a one-way channel, right? Because you're putting out this content into the world, and there's not like a natural way to get feedback back directly through the podcast. And right. So what we always recommend is have kind of the conversation channel. So whether that's a Facebook group or an email marketing list or whatever, there's got to be another place where you can engage with your audience, where they can give feedback and comments back that's not directly on the platform, because it's not super innate to like comment or review on the podcasting platforms. It's just terrible UX. But we love it when you do. So after listening to this, if you've enjoyed it or listened to more than one episode, like please hit review, give us a 5-star, give us a rating. It really does help a ton.
Well, you know, and Mickey, you mentioned this earlier this year. And one of the things that I started doing was at every class, I put up a QR code on the screen and I say, review this class. And people are very willing to, but I have to ask for it. It's not something we normally do. So folks, this is what we're saying. We love talking. We love giving out the information. We just would like to hear from you. Are we doing it right? Are you liking it? I mean, we hear that you're downloading. We see all the downloads, right? And we hope you're getting something back because people are coming in. But what are we? Do you want something different next year? I mean, you know, I'd like to know.
Yeah. What topics, what questions, what things are hitting you in your business or your marketing that you want help with? Let us know, and we will talk about it. I promise.
Oh, yes, we will. We would love to talk about it. I mean, you know, can you give us a topic that you want to hear next year? Please, please, please go to our channel. Hey, you can find me here. It's academyofcleaning.com. That's where I'm at. So please just kind of go there and, you know, give us a shout. Rate the show. Hey, season eight starts for me next month. After vacation, come back in January. I don't know, Mickey, am I going to be able to get to you before you go to Vegas?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm around. I make it work. You know me. I'll even call. We'll talk in Vegas.
Oh, now that could be interesting. Okay. Well, live from the marketing show in Vegas.
Absolutely. I make it work for you. You know that.
Any parting comments, Mickey? I appreciate your time this morning.
I think the biggest thing to reflect on as you kind of leave 2023 and move into 2024 is less about what did I accomplish, what numbers changed, and more of what did I learn, and what do I want to test or learn moving forward. And that's the way that I like to look at the end of the year and the beginning of the year. Like, what are the big lessons and takeaways? And then how can I take those forward and challenge new things in the following year? And it makes it a little bit more playful and less like boring strategic planning.
I'm sorry, Mickey, I was punching buttons and it kind of froze it for a moment. So,
all good.
You know, and I think that's kind of the interesting thing as we do this, technology sometimes is a challenge. We had a little this morning when we got on. I think you are correct. I think you are correct in the fact that, you know, that the tech area and marketing and what we do is going to continue to be more and more. So folks, get with it. You got a $1,000 computer hanging in your phone. Don't think that you're just going to continue to do things the way it was. It's not. Mickey, so good to have you on again this year. I look forward to another year.
Absolutely. Thank you. It's been a blast.
Folks, please go to our website, academyofcleaning.com, or follow us here at Beyond Clean with Ace. As you can tell, we talk about anything and everything, not just cleaning, maybe even Vegas and tip of the hat, too. Talk to you later, folks.